Clark Capital's quarterly market and economic review and outlook. I'm Patty Quinn McCauley, head of marketing. Each quarter, I'm joined by our two senior client portfolio managers, Glenn Dorsey and Pete Eisenrich, for a discussion on the markets and the economy. They'll be taking a look at our five economic gauges and their implications for the market. So Glenn, Pete, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's get started. Glenn, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Patty, and thank you everyone for joining. Just as a reminder, these five gauges represent what we consider to be the major drivers of stock prices over time. So the basic concept is if the gauge is straight up and down or at 12 o'clock, it's a neutral for our outlook for stocks. If it's to the right of 12 o'clock, it's a positive. And if it's to the left, it's a negative. We did have three gauges that we moved back one notch a piece, but they're all still in positive territory, which overall gives us four positive gauges and one negative gauge. So Pete, why don't you kick us off talking about the economic gauge?
Thank you, Glenn. And the economy gauge is one that we did move backward one notch into that slow forward position. So as Glenn said, still in positive territory, but we really want to acknowledge that we're not going to see the type of economic growth that really we saw at the tail end of 2020 and the first half of 2021. That was really being in that V-shaped part of the recovery from the economic shutdown because of the pandemic. So that pace of growth is starting to slow. That's why we wanted to bring it into that slow forward position. We still think we'll be at above trend growth, probably in that 3.5 to 4% area for 2022, but that's not going to mirror what we had, for example, the first half of 2021, which was in the mid 6.5% range. So getting closer to that trend economic growth, but still in above trend growth for the time being. And we are kind of moving from that V shape into more of that square root. One of the big drivers, the job market has been very strong. We had the unemployment rate drop below 4% in December. It actually got to 3.9%. So we know one of the clear focus of the Fed has been to improve the job market to get to that full employment area. We're probably getting a lot closer to that based on the December reading. And I know in November, we had a record amount of job quitters, which tends to be a positive sign in the economy. People are comfortable enough quitting a job, believing they can find a better job or a better paying job somewhere else. So a lot of positives are seeing in the job market, although we do see a little bit of dissociation there with more job openings right now than we have job seekers. So that's obviously causing its own particular issues as we're going through the economy. But if the economy looks strong, we expect above trend growth as we go into 2022. And I don't know if there's any final points you want to make with the economy, Glenn.
Sure. I think why the economy is important is the economy drives earnings. And as we say over and over again, earnings drive stock prices. So again, this is a slowdown from very, very strong economic growth to what is still nearly double the growth that we saw prior to the pandemic. So that 3.5 to 4% range that Pete mentioned is still quite strong. Earnings last year for the S&P 500 grew nearly 60% for the full year. We obviously haven't had the fourth quarter reported yet, but that's what expectations are. That should slow down to about 9% growth in 2022, which is what the consensus is. We think it could be a little bit higher than that, but that is still an important driver of stock prices. We still have positive earnings growth. We still have positive economic growth. When we look at forward-looking indicators, things like the LEI, the housing market, all of those suggest that the economy is going to continue to be strong for through 2022 into 2023. In fact, some of the strength is creating some inflation, and that's something the Fed has been dealing with now. And that kind of leads us into our next gauge, which is monetary policy, which we also moved back one notch, but it's still in a slow forward position. So what has happened is the Fed, in an effort to combat inflation, has started to take their foot off the gas pedal. Go back to during the pandemic, the Federal Reserve lowered the Fed funds rate to zero and then started quantitative easing, which is they were buying $120 billion a month in treasuries and mortgage-backed securities in the open marketplace. The initial expectations were that they would wrap that up and unwind that down to zero by summer of this year. And in fact, it looks like they're accelerating that pace and should be done with quantitative easing in March. And now the expectations are that the Fed will start to raise rates perhaps a little bit earlier than we expected before. So Pete, would you like to elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. Yeah. With the Fed, remember, there's a dual mandate, price stability, which we think of as inflation control, as well as full employment. We know the Fed was really focused on that full employment side of the mandate, really kind of post, you know, March of 2020 up until the last couple of months. The market really forced the Fed to start focusing more on that inflation side. We had 6.8% CPI year over year increase in November of last year. That was the highest inflation increase since 1982. So we are seeing higher inflation. The Fed had to start acknowledging that. The first step was ramping up that tapering, so reducing the bond buying as we move into 2022. And really the next question will be, when do they start to raise policy rates? And that's obviously becoming a big topic out in the market. We know the Fed has a meeting in March. They actually don't have a meeting in April, and then they have another meeting in May. So discussion on, will they raise rates in March, or will they wait, get another couple months of data, and look to start that, you know, raising rates in May of this year. So that's what we're going to look at with the Fed. They're clearly making this turn away from the massive accommodation they put into the economy, put into the market following the pandemic. They're starting to reduce some of that, driven by this higher inflation. And that is really kind of the direction we need to expect the Fed to go as we move through 2022. Still providing accommodation, but we have made a change on the Fed side. Does kind of lead into our thinking with valuations. You know, we think of, what's the Fed doing? What's going on with interest rates? Valuations obviously are linked a little bit to interest rates. It is one of the measures that we actually did not change moving into the first quarter of this year. We keep that in a slow backward position, acknowledging that the market's a little bit expensive, but we didn't make a change to it because we thought it was still pretty fair with where we were on that gauge. Glenn, do you want to expand on where we are with valuations?
Yeah, I think when you look at the price to earnings multiple for the market, we're about 21 times forward operating earnings right now. That's above long-term average, which is closer to 15 to 16. I think it's also important to recognize that interest rates are lower right now. And typically speaking, when you have lower interest rates, that sustains higher valuations. I think it's also important to acknowledge that this is not a very good gauge for telling us change in directions in the market, because the gauge can stay one notch negative for a long period of time and continue to go up, or it could be one notch positive and continue to go down. So it's a kind of a sticky gauge. When we consider where valuations are relative to interest rates, we still think stocks are pretty reasonable asset class relative to bonds, right? With a 10-year treasury below 2% where it is, and an earnings yield, which is the inverse of the PE, that's about 5%, stocks still look pretty attractive. So again, this is a long-term gauge, not a terribly good indicator of short-term moves in the market. Our next gauge, however, investor sentiment, is much more reflective of short-term moves in the market. It's a very volatile gauge, kind of like a weather vane. We're really trying to gauge fear or greed in the marketplace. And this one's a contrarian indicator. So when people are very excited about stocks, that makes us nervous. And when people are fearful of stocks, that tells us it's probably a better entry point. Right now, we continue to have that gauge in the one notch forward position. So there's a healthy level of skepticism amongst investors. There's not the rational exuberance that Alan Greenspan used to reference. And that little bit of fear tells us we have more room to go in the marketplace. But Pete, would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. We have, you know, Omicron, we've got inflation concerns, we've got a Fed changing course. Those are the things that have really suppressed some of that investor sentiment. So that's why there's been a little bit of that buildup in pessimism in the market. We would say kind of some healthy pessimism in the market, which leads us to keep that gauge in that slight forward and positive position from our perspective. Not really getting a big swing either way with this gauge. I mean, you know, we're just one notch forward. We do see this at time at those extremes really tell us there might be some short-term action in the market. For example, March of 2020, when we were moving into April of 2020, it was kind of about as dark as it could be, right? The end of March of 2020, we'd had the 30% correction in the market. We made this gauge a full forward positive at that point, because really we thought a lot of the bad news was already in the market. So right now it's not really sending a strong signal either way, but again, leaning a little bit that there's a little bit of pessimism out there in the market, a healthy pessimism that keeps us as a positive with that gauge. That leads us to our final gauge, which is interest rates, which really does tend to be kind of close with what we're doing with monetary policy. we are still in a low interest rate environment. Yes, interest rates went up pretty dramatically. If we think of, you know, percentage wise, last year we ended 2020 at 93 basis points on the 10-year treasury yield. We ended last year, 2021, at 1.52% on the 10-year. Again, not big interest rates, not high interest rates, but a pretty dramatic move when we see that change from 2020 to 2021. And that was why we started to come off of that full forward position in interest rates as we were going through last year. And we do have it back one notch this quarter into that slow forward position, really acknowledging, you know, interest rates, especially on the front end of the yield curve, have gone up. We'd call that a flattening of the yield curve. Very interesting that we always are talking about the 10-year treasury. It's been caught in a pretty good band. I mean, it's been pretty narrow with where it's traded. But if you look at 1 year, 3 year, 5 year interest rates, they've gone up dramatically since the summer. So that is really the market anticipating the Fed pushing us into some higher interest rates. And the Fed has a lot of control on the front end of the yield curve, and that's what we're seeing reflected in the market. So really a flatter yield curve, still positively sloped right now. But again, that links with monetary policy and the direction we're headed with interest rates. Glenn, any comments on the interest rate side?
Yeah, historically, the steeper the yield curve, the more positive it is for the stock market. And that means that when short-term rates are considerably lower than long-term rates, that usually is indicative of a Fed that's putting a lot of stimulus into the marketplace, and stocks do well in that environment. Given the change of direction of the Fed, we would expect to see short-term rates continue to move up faster than long-term rates, and that yield curve will flatten. The flatter that gets, the less positive it is for stocks. Ultimately, what we've seen in other Fed rate hike cycles is that the Fed has pushed short-term rates up to the point where oftentimes they're actually higher than long-term rates, which is an inverted yield curve. That's a very negative sign for stocks. We think we're a ways out from that. That's a 2023, maybe even a 2024 event, but that's something to keep an eye on, because the inverted yield curve usually signals that there's a recession looming. In fact, every recession that we've had in the US has been preceded by an inverted yield curve. So that's a very, very important indicator for us. Still positively sloped, which is why we still have this as one notch in the positive direction. So with that, Patty, I'd love to turn it back to you.
Great. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Pete. Lots of great takeaways today. And thank you for watching. Our client portfolio management team is here to help you and your clients. If you have any questions or a client case in mind, please reach out to your client portfolio management team or your regional investment consultant. And be sure to check out our blog, blog.ccmg.com, for our latest commentary and thinking on the markets. Thanks for tuning in, and be well.